Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are going to talk about tracing, duplicating a garment.
I was going to say duplicating a garment. Probably ready made, to wear. So making a pattern from a garment you like, you're wearing, you're happy with, and you want to duplicate it.
Yeah. So we're inspired by Paula asking how to do this, and we are going to do a demonstration of the garment that she is interested in. Paula posted a picture of a pair of shorts, and then we found a pair of shorts that ZD has that are very similar to Paula's shorts. Right. I was like, ZD, I said, Mom, don't you have a pair of shorts like that? You know, and she's like, I think I do. So it's going to be, if you're looking for a more detailed, video explanation of this, that is going to be something that we offer to the Zigzaggers. And anyway, there are a lot of ways to do this, and there's no one right way, but I'm going to kind of talk about, I'm going to ask Edie if she does anything different from like what I would do. Okay.
But, oh, there you go.
Or,
well, I mean, the easiest thing would be to try and just find a pattern someone made probably.
There
but
you go.
It's not going to fit you like the garment you have probably.
Right. So that's why you want to do that.
But sometimes you can find a pattern that is similar. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know how to make your alterations to fit your body, you've got that. And sometimes you might even tweak it a way you want it better.
Yeah, so that's like another good point.
Right.
I had a trouser pattern for Derek, and I held it up to his...
Yes.
Trousers.
To his old
pair,
So you take the new pattern.
Yeah.
You hold it up to... good way to find a crotch curve if that's the curve you're looking
for. Yeah, that's what you're worried
about. You know, and a lot of times, like in a trouser, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like the deepness of, an arm's eye.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of people have, my bra shows, from under my arm, or it's too low. And sometimes it seems like, if you have a garment that's already there.
Right.
That's a good way. So actually, we're kind of talking. Now we've
veered off.
Right,
that's
we've
okay
kind of morphed this into. If you have a pattern and you want to check parts of it, yes, you can take that ready-to-made or that pattern you've already used that you liked. Now this is a new pattern, that you like more things. So.
So we talk about slopers, right?
Right.
And I remember back in the we published a podcast about it, and then Amy. Vonk, she said, oh, so I've got this like princess line dress from Tilly and the Buttons and it fits me perfectly. Is that my sloper? And I was like, well, sure.
Yeah, it is.
So that's like, that can be her base pattern that she works off of. So then your sloper could also be an existing garment in a way. especially we have this conversation all the time in the groups, in the group. A lot of times, a lot of guys wear their trousers below the belly line.
Yeah, people who don't wear their clothes in the place you expect them to.
Or
like the waist is not the waist.
In the place that the pattern expects them to.
Right, there you go.
Okay.
Whatever.
So that's what I'm saying.
The expectations differ.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't wear my trousers the way my husband wears his trousers.
Right.
So if I know he likes this pair, I can go more off of that than going off of taking like a bunch of his measurements and stuff.
Well, and men don't usually have a waist, like, at all, because they don't have hips, you know.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? And yet, I just had a conversation with my
friend. Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's not always true. But
well, no, I just had a conversation with my friend Brenda, because she took a jeans pattern we had for her son Ryan, because Ryan has this butt.
Yeah.
Okay, and she's like, well, he's got a butt. None of the men's pants have a butt.
So he's got a generous butt, but none of the patterns give him room for his generous butt.
Right.
So here we are, you know.
Right. Shapes are shapes, and shapes do not have, you know,
there are no rules.
Right. Everybody's shape is their shape.
Yeah, there are rules out there that are dictated by these patterns, but then we need to learn to work with them. So anyway, you can use that pattern, you can compare it, but let's get back to where we were.
Well, we were really going to talk about.
Okay, there are ways to do this. What materials would you get out to start this project? I think that's a good place to start.
Lots of rulers, measuring tapes, definitely some sort of tracing paper, right?
Yep, a pencil.
Now, and I say tracing paper.
Yeah, this is what
I would like
about.
Something I could see through, probably.
Do you get out a tracing wheel with teeth?
I usually don't, that's not a bad idea either.
This is where I'm saying there's different ways to do this. So some people will do a rubbing.
And that you can do that too.
On the garment. Some people will use the tracing wheel with teeth. I don't.
No.
Personally.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad thing to do. So if you learn that way, it's okay.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with, like, say, a white butcher weight paper to make your pattern out of, or something like that. But I really like the medical exam paper. It's almost tracing paper. It's a little bit heavier, you know. It's a little bit more opaque.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as see-through as like maybe a regular tracing paper. Some people will use a non-woven like interfacing.
Right.
And that actually is quite nice because you can sort of bend it.
And,
you know, or you know, you can manipulate it a lot without it tearing. Let's put it that way.
I just saw a Facebook video from Mood that was like a time lapse. It was really fast, you know. And the person was tracing a ready-to-wear swimsuit, and they were tracing the bottoms, and they used a gridded paper.
Right.
And they used a toothy tracing wheel.
Uh-huh.
And so that toothy tracing wheel, they would trace the shape of the garment, and then they would go with a pencil and connect
the dots.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's one way to do it. So our setup, we always have the rotary mat down with the grid mat. Okay, so we have our table with this grid mat for rotary cutting. You know, like at Stevens College where I went, their costume shop is tables that have a layer of batting on them with a layer of craft paper over it, which lends itself to a lot of that tracing wheel work. Our surface really doesn't lend itself to tracing in that fashion wheel. We would need to put something down that's like cork, like the DIY style.
Well, I know people that use foam board.
Anything.
You know, if they want to punch, do you know what I mean? Or even if they want to tack down. So something like foam board or cork.
Yeah.
And in some shops, they will have cork tables.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what Stevens like wished they had in the costume shop, and maybe that is what they do have in the fashion.
I've been in shops where they've had, either a hard top table or a cork table, and then they will put cardboard over them.
Yeah.
In order not to chew up the cork all the time.
Okay, so ZD and I personally prefer to not use the tracing wheel.
Right. And it's not a bad idea, but you use the tracing wheel and you do have to go back and draw again.
Right.
So, I just skip that and draw.
Okay, right. So with these shorts, let's talk about like shorts or a t-shirt or something like that. Like, first of all, if you have a garment that is symmetrical, okay, like a t-shirt that you envision in your mind, and you don't want to, like, when you trace the whole t-shirt, you don't want to trace like the whole front of the t-shirt. You're going to find your halfway line.
Right.
So get that in your brain.
Especially
first.
Because it will come out symmetrical.
Yes, exactly.
If you're trying to trace the whole of it, there's more likely that you'll get off kilter.
Yes. So, you know, as hard as we're trying to be perfectly accurate, we probably, this shirt could be, this garment could be a little distorted or whatever. And you, though, what you really want to end up with is a front and a back of a shirt that are symmetrical.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and what I'm saying is the more you trace, the more you can get off.
That's right.
So the less you trace, the more precise actually you can be.
So if I'm going to trace a t-shirt and I fold it in half. What we have, let's picture a clear cutting table, a clean cutting table, free of other stuff. A transparent one. Okay. Clean cutting table. And I would lay out my tracing paper and I'd probably weight it down just to keep it tame. And then I'd fold my t-shirt in half and I would lay that center line on the edge of my tracing paper. Okay.
That's right.
Everybody down with that? Now, when you do this, if you just fold a t-shirt in half, generally the back neckline is higher than the front, okay? So then what I like to do is I like to just mark sort of my landmarks. So it would be like the center back up there at the neckline, up there where the neckline goes into the shoulder seam, where the shoulder seam meets the sleeve, you know, where the arm's eye ends and meets the side seam.
There's another thing about a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Is often the front and the back are exactly the same.
That's why I kind of chose that. Yeah. So I also didn't say that I'd weight down my t-shirt too.
You have to somehow fix your t-shirt and without distorting it
So that's why I like to weight it.
Right.
So we've got our garment on top of the paper. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this isn't the rubbing technique that other people like to do.
Now, another place you could be doing this, Mallory, which I've done it successfully, and actually it was in a costume shop, is the ironing board.
Oh, okay. So you can pin it down.
Because you can pin it down very easily.
Good call.
Right.
Good call. Yeah, I've never had a problem with the
weighting
system.
I don't either.
That's how we do it.
I think I did it on the ironing board because it was the room I had at the time, you know, at the end of a show sometimes. You know, the costume shop gets real crowded. And I remember thinking, oh, well, this is kind of a good idea. And I like it because I just pin the thing down and then I sort of pin the paper over it and I just traced it.
Right. So I get my little marks there and then I give myself a few dashes around the edges of the garment and then I connect those.
Right. And if it's a straight line, you know, you
use
put a
ruler.
Point at the end and the end and maybe in the middle and then you use a ruler or whatever.
Like I would not freehand in my shoulder seam.
Right.
I'd use a ruler because it's probably straight.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then.
Well, and you know, again, like I said, you'll get out all your rulers and your marking implements and all that. And you'll have your curve there, your French curve or whatever also.
Yeah, your curve, your dressmaker's curve,
whatever.
Your whatever you got.
All the stuff you have.
And then we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but before you go use this pattern, what do you really need to make sure to do? I'll tell you. Add seam allowance.
Oh, but before you use the pattern. I'm thinking before you use the garment.
No.
So what? Here's the deal, and this is the deal. So when you're tracing, you want to be tracing the seam.
That's right.
And not the seam allowance, okay? And do the seam because that's what fits you.
Yep.
Okay, that's the garment that fits you is where it's sewn, the seam is. So then you have the option.
Yeah.
Of adding whatever seam allowance you would like.
Yeah, I don't turn my garments inside out to trace them. I leave them right side out. Do you turn them
actually,
inside out?
Actually, it depends.
Just depends? Okay.
Depends on if I feel like I'm getting a good trace.
Okay, because if I turned this t-shirt inside out, I feel like I'd be getting some seam allowance.
Right.
Now, I guess depends on if you're okay with that.
It also depends like on the bulk of the garment. Like sometimes if you don't turn it inside out, you have this lump You know, where the seam is folded over. So sometimes you need to go inside out.
Good call. Good call. Now, the hard part of the t-shirt, I bet a lot of people who maybe they feel like they've got a little courage from just hearing us say, yeah, just trace it. Just do these lines. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It was the sleeve, I think. Right?
Yes.
Because it is really like a piece that's sewn into a tube, and people might question.
Well, the other thing is this is where we would talk about, you know, ease in a piece.
Right.
So it might not be that exact seam. You may have to add back in some ease in this garment.
Right.
Now, on a knit, probably not.
Yeah, probably on a knit, you're okay.
Right. But I don't know. Why do you have a problem?
I just think it's more difficult than doing the front and the back. That's all I'm saying. It's just a more challenging part of it.
I think it might be more difficult for people who are not used to drawing a sleeve or knowing, you know, sort of anticipating how that sleeve shape is going to come out.
That's right. And that's where being familiar with what pattern pieces look like can help you.
Right. Because you will have a cap to the sleeve, even in a garment that sometimes knits have a lower cap, a flatter cap than a woven garment, but you still have that hump.
Right.
When, you know, if I lay my sleeve out flat.
Right.
If I could take it apart and lay it out
flat.
Yeah,
so we're...
Right? I would have basically a bell-shaped curve.
Yeah, so how are we getting this bell? So this is where we kind of combine our knowledge of drafting, our knowledge of what patterns look like. And so I would put my sleeve, once again, it's probably symmetrical on most t-shirts, okay?
Right.
On this Arn Arn Imaginary t-shirt. I'd put that edge of the sleeve on the edge of my paper to indicate, like, cut on fold. So this is the part that goes like over the top of your
So you're saying you would just go ahead and make it a cut on fold.
Yeah.
Which is fine, especially if the front and the back are the same. If you don't want to cut it on fold, it doesn't matter because you can take that pattern piece and make it whole piece. You know, mirror it, fold it over, and get the whole piece.
Yeah, so if you don't want to do that cut on fold and you do want it to be straight out, don't put it on the edge of your tracing paper. Draw yourself a line on your tracing paper to put this on. You still don't want to be trying to, like, trace out both sides.
But it's similar to having your front... halving your front or your back. You're sort of having the sleeve. You know, you fold it on that seam. So there's the underarm seam. And then the top fold basically should be the top of your sleeve.
Yeah. So the easy parts of the sleeve are that kind of center line that goes from sleeve hem up to the shoulder seam. And then it's also probably going to be pretty easy to visualize the hem and the underarm seam.
Right.
But now we got this cap. The sleeve cap,
right,
which probably cannot just be extrapolated from your arm sigh. Because if you've ever looked at, like ZD was saying, the shape of a pattern, the arm sigh is, you know, kind of like a J or a C or something, whereas that sleeve cap is a bell curve.
Right.
So this is where we would bring in the flexible ruler, or we'd bring in just a normal measuring tape. And then having that underarm seam, having that center line, having the hem in place, you can construct the bell curve.
And
your
sleeve. you can get some of that curve out of the shape, you know, the shape of it is in the garment.
Right.
I mean, I think especially if you do turn it inside out.
That's where you can
Think you would get, yes.
So you when you're trying to get the shape of the of something like that that's sort of sewn into a tube, you may end up kind of rolling your garment along your flat table.
Yes.
In tracking its movements. You always use the example of like rolling a lampshade.
Right.
So if you wanted to...
Because the top of the lampshade is different than the bottom of the lampshade.
So you're literally transforming a three-dimensional shape into its two-dimensional...
Right. It's two-dimensional, totally flat shape.
It's equivalent. So... if you do think you can get that, you may find that sort of manipulating that sleeve by, you know, rolling it around, maybe even turning it inside out, you may be able to find that.
Well, and I'm thinking of something like a baseball sleeve or a raglan sleeve in a knit. You know, the when you sew those lines, they will appear to be straight in the garment, and they're not straight. Yeah. You know, there is a again, there's some ease to those to shape around your shoulder.
I just traced those raglans for the kids, even, and they weren't quite as shaped. You know, maybe
well,
as like
and for
an adult.
A kid, they don't have to be right.
But it was really interesting to do that. In fact, maybe we should do that on top of the shorts. You know, make that a different
because
live
they're not two straight lines together. No. They're two slightly curved lines together.
And the back's bigger than the front.
So
not,
this,
you know.
So this is where I'm getting to with this is. Just because you've traced this doesn't mean you're going to wind up with the exact garment you have or the same shape. You definitely need a muslin.
Yeah, you need to test
you
first.
Know, do not think, oh, well, I got this garment. No, you're going from that. And the other thing that has happened is you've worn this garment.
Oh, sure.
And whether it's a knit or whether it's a woven, it's not the same shape it was the day you bought it. Even if you've laundered it and been nice to it and all this, you know, there could be some things, you know, some stretching, some misalignment of the fibers. That,
well,
you know, and it's not, no, it's slight.
Yes, but also, and this was something I was going to bring up at the end, but you kind of bring it up right now, is if you want to get the same garment, you're going to have to find similar fabric.
That's
so,
true,
you know,
too.
You can't,
absolutely.
You can't trace a pair of, like, crepe shorts and then go make them out of canvas and expect to
right
have
and think you're gonna get the same drape right
so you know amount of stretch and everything but I thought we'd get into that a little later. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about the process a bit for like a pair of trousers or shorts. Hey ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today. Sewing out loud. And we're back.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, trousers.
These are hard.
This isn't simple.
The thing about trousers is you get that pair that fits and you just want to hold on to them forever.
Yeah, you're just like so in love
and
with them.
And you have finally worn them to death.
You wear them.
Well, and I must say, if you have worn them to death and they have like holes or, you know, it might be really hard to get this to work.
Well, also, I was going to say, if you've worn them to death and you really destroyed them, maybe you should carefully take them apart.
Now, in that case, you can take them apart.
Yeah,
right, absolutely.
You know, we're not saying never take anything apart, but we know a lot of people aren't like, they're not wanting to sacrifice.
Yeah, people
the
are like,
good
I'm not taking my shirt apart that fits me the best, you know.
Right. Well, and we were just talking about this kind of on the break. This is more for... you know, a pair of trousers that has a fly or a button-up shirt that has a placket, sometimes you can't get all the information from the finished product.
Right, because it's been sewn and trimmed and folded, and then maybe the seam is enclosed somehow. Yep. So you don't know, like, what size maybe that pattern piece started out.
You got it. So that's where that knowledge of those... of those patterns can come in handy.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, if you want to duplicate a little knit A-line dress.
Right.
And maybe even sleeveless, go for it.
Right.
That's easy. That gives you your shape and your size right there, and
I
you can go for it.
With, like, that T-shirt or tank right. top
a
is a good idea.
A T-shirt and a tank top is a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Pants can be hard. But... you know, the more involved it is, the more likely you are to not be successful,
like,
probably.
Yes. You know, even something like a collar and a collar stand, what we're saying is you may want to steal or pilfer from
a pattern.
Another pattern, possibly.
And what I'm saying is if you don't have an understanding of a garment that's constructed like that, it may be very difficult for you to get a good trace.
Yeah. So tracing these garments could possibly be put on, like, a skill level above starting with a paper pattern.
Now, I have done things like I have said to maybe a parent, send me a dress that fits your kid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I'm tracing that dress even.
Right.
But I get an idea of back waist length, of, you know, the length of the dress. Does the arms eye look right? Is it big enough? You know. Some, you know, if it doesn't mean I'm even using the same style.
Exactly.
And I might just be using that dress as a reference point.
Well, I do that with Zelda sometimes. I'm like, I'm going to steal this shirt.
Right.
Because I know this is, like, one that ends up being a good length on her.
Right.
Or it's a good this or good that. So,
or this is a good shirt if I just made it longer.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
So with a pair of trousers, like the shorts that we're going to do for, that Paula suggested, this is where it gets a little difficult because generally, on a pair of trousers, the back pattern piece that goes on the back leg is larger than the front.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is maybe where, like, that rubbing technique could come in handy. However, I don't do it.
Well, and I think the other thing that needs to be said here is, so you want that back, say you're doing the back leg. You want the back leg panel. You flatten out and you flatten that piece out and you don't worry about the rest of the of the garment. So it's not like the whole garment is always going to lay nice and flat.
No,
you
can't.
Want the piece you're using to, like, now a T-shirt, that might happen.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean.
Oh, I see.
And that's what I meant by
saying,
like a tank top or a
trouser.
Little tank dress. Go for it. The whole thing will, you know.
Right. So with a pair of trousers or pants, actually, I have a pair of PJ pants that this would be, like, really easy.
Oh, yeah,
to
you're
show.
Getting ready to make. Maybe you should do that. On the tape.
They are just so simple.
But they fit like you like them.
And yeah, I love them. So I bought fabric expressly in mind that's of similar fiber content and drape to make another pair. So what I would do, though, on a pair of trousers and what I did on Derek's, and this can get a little bulky sometimes depending on what you're doing, is I do put one leg inside
that's
of the
how
other.
I like.
Okay,
that's
I
my
was
favorite.
Ask,
no,
like,
that's my favorite, too. And I will turn a pair of pants inside out
that
a lot of times.
So you'll do that.
Well, because you've got, you know, you have things like those four corners meeting at the crotch and things like that that sometimes give you a bulk that's hard to deal with. I might try it both ways.
Sure.
You know, I might try it first. Okay, how is this right side out? Yeah, I don't know. And now I've got this shoved in here and it's got a pocket and the pocket's making it too bulky to lay flat, so I'm going to turn these inside out.
So whether they're right side out or inside out, when you make that decision, you're going to put one leg inside the other.
Right.
And then
So you have half a pair of pants.
Yes. So I sort of start with the back of the leg, okay? And when you lay that down on your surface, on your tracing paper, I would put some weights sort of inside the leg or where I can, you know, see them, to weight down kind of the center of that trouser leg, okay? So that I can roll the trouser leg to the side seam, mark the side seam. Roll the trouser to the inseam, mark the inseam. So if you think about how the inseam...
the traveling pants.
Yeah, there you go. So it's like I am getting that full width of the back leg that doesn't lay down flat on my paper right. because it is sewn to a smaller front leg.
Right.
And then I don't, you know, with the crotch curve, I know everybody's like, crotch curve, crotch curve, crotch curve. I will do some marks, do some, you mm-hmm. know, tick marks, like right there at the crotch point, and then do some tick marks up and everything. But that, and then I'll draw in my curve.
Right.
I don't, you'll actually probably get a nicer looking curve than if you try to, like, trace
you'll get
along
a nicer
up.
Looking curve than the pants actually have.
Well,
at this point in time, if
yes,
they've been worn a lot.
Especially
right.
something with, like, a big old bulky zipper fly.
Right.
You know, okay, so am I going to get every little bumpity bump of that denim mm-hmm. that's been washed or something like that. So you trace up there. Now, if you have a yoke on your pants, that's going to be separate.
Right.
Okay. And then this is a place I sometimes will measure the garment to double check that I've got
yes.
everything.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I do that on hems or on straight lines just to make sure I haven't distorted something somehow. So you can double check in that way. And what ZD was talking about when we took our little break is you need on a pair of trousers, you got to get the front and back leg. Okay, that's your real foundation of these trousers. Then they might have a fly and they might have a yoke
and a pocket.
And a pocket and all that. But first, get that shape.
If you can get that shape, you can then go back and look at the pocket or whatever, see how it is, or look at the fly, and you can decide how difficult it's actually going to be to get that out of your already constructed garment. You may now want to go to a commercial pattern.
Yeah, like if you have a pattern for jeans and it shows it, you get a pocket bag.
Yes.
Because sometimes when you're new to the garment making process, you're like, oh, this is a fine size pocket. And then you make it, you're like, oh my God, it's the size of my entire leg.
Right.
It's way too bulky. Or, oh my gosh, I can't even fit chapstick in there, you know, because I made it too small.
Right.
Okay.
Or my hand doesn't fit or
yeah.
whatever.
So sometimes going to a commercial pattern like that is helpful. And like you said, with things like pockets, they've been manipulated
yep.
a lot before the process, you know, before
right.
they've been
and then,
put on the shelf.
And again, seams, you know, a lot of times these things, especially if it's a jeans type garment or something, these things have been, you know, put together with the seam and then top stitched and all this. So you're not real aware maybe of, you know, where that line is or where that seam allowance is. You're going to have to make that up yourself.
Yeah, and you have to
or allow for it.
When you have something with top stitching, like, I think that's a really good thing to bring up because the top stitching is not your seam.
No. Nope.
Your seam is your seam.
Yes.
Okay, so pay close attention
right.
to that. Especially, you know, if you've ever put together something with a fly, it's a little bit of magic in a way. You know,
it is.
But
well, and I guess, you know, for the less experienced or whatever, the person who hasn't made 15 pairs of pants with a fly, you may want those directions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, out of that commercial pattern. And I can't tell you that that's how, when I still referred to patterns.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but I would buy a pattern, like, for a sleeve.
Yeah.
Like, the shape of a sleeve or the
uh-huh.
or I want this big mutton sleeve. How much fabric do I really put in that mutton sleeve? Well, if I got a pattern, I might not use it,
mm-hmm.
or I might, depends. But I could unfurl it,
yeah,
right, and look and see, like, this is really a lot of fabric. Okay, I would have never done this. I would have thought, you know, I just needed to make it a little bit puffy
well,
or something.
Sometimes in this day and age, you can run across, depending on how your brain works or how much experience you have with this, sometimes you run across kind of a graphic, or you can look in a book and you can see, oh, this leg of mutton sleeve is made by slashing the crap out of the sleeve cap.
Well, and the other thing is, it may be a drawing and not a true depiction.
Yeah.
So that pattern is a true depiction
yes.
of what you're going to get.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, sometimes drawing, I hesitate when people go to design school and then they make these drawings and they don't know how to sew yet.
Yeah.
You know, and they make these drawings and they don't realize really what they've drawn.
Yeah.
You know, three-dimensionally. Uh-huh. Like, they
How's that gonna work?
That's just a sleeve. No, it's not quite just a sleeve. It's going to need this and this and this, and it's going to need support to stay up like this, and, you know.
Right.
There's a lot involved.
Yeah, knowledge of those, like, materials right. and everything. But I think that that's an... You may want to steal from a pattern. I love the example of the, even though we're talking about trousers, I love the example of the placket on the front of a button-up
yeah.
shirt. Because, like a fly, sometimes that's structured differently in different patterns. Like, the left mm-hmm. side of the shirt is actually wider or
right.
whatever side.
Right.
Know.
It's not just a piece put onto the shirt. It's actually the front of the... garment is actually starts out asymmetrical.
Yeah, and yeah. I like the fly insertion where the fly is incorporated into the leg of the pants, the place for the zipper.
Yes, I do too.
Okay, yeah. So I personally like that, but that's not how every pattern is.
No.
Sometimes it's a separate piece. However, when I got a pattern where it was a separate piece, I like taped it on there so
right.
it's all one piece.
Well,
you
because
know?
I don't like the bulk that
right.
the separate piece adds.
I'm like, well,
right.
there's no reason for this. Seem right. to be here. It doesn't, right. you know, do fit or anything like that. Hey, you know what we haven't talked about is can everyone in their brain like envision a dart in a skirt or in the top of a pair of trousers? You mm-hmm. do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So yeah, so a dart takes up fabric.
It's like
correct.
It's like a nip, a fold of
yeah.
Folded
it takes up
fabric
and hopefully, or what it's trying to do is, you know. Make that piece not flat.
Uh-huh.
So it curves around a hip or a breast or a waist or something, you know, whatever sort of curve lump you might have you're fitting. So what you have to do, draw one side of this, right?
One side of the dart.
Choose your side, one side, whatever. And then you have to measure away. So you have to go in at the top of that dart.
Yeah.
Right on the inside and go and measure how much dart is there.
Yeah, if you can access that. Now, I feel like there's also the rolling and folding can be done here, rolling the garment and keeping like the area below the dart flat.
That helps, yes.
You can, mm-hmm. It's what you have to do if for some reason
right.
that dart's been cut away
right,
or
right,
something
right,
like
right.
that.
Well, and that's what you would have done yeah. in the first place anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I mean, yes. As much as can be flat, it's flat.
Right.
The problem then comes from the point of the dart onward, upward, mm-hmm. whatever, downward, whatever. And you have to somehow figure out how much dart is taken.
Yeah.
Right?
And I would say that waistbands are kind of, they're funky in this way too, because like the waistband on a pair of jeans, it's not straight, but it's
right.
not super curvy. So you have this sort of subtle curve, you know, mm-hmm. of this waistband, and that can be a little funny.
So the waistband actually might be straight, but the garment is curved.
Right. Or both.
Or both. Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, you have to really think about that and look at that.
You have to be, like, manipulating your garment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to kind of, like you said earlier, one part of the garment's going to be, you know, you're going to be paying attention to one
aspect. Yes, only one part can be flat at a time.
Yes, like most likely. So when you're really paying attention to this waistband, don't worry about keeping anything else straight. You just pay attention.
Right. Well, and I think when I'm right now, I'm thinking of a pant with a dart in it. And at the top, more than likely, and this is because I know this because I've made thousands of pants or whatever. So what happens, my side seam probably goes in at the top a little bit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Plus, I have darts, so I have to allow for all of that. There's a bit of a curve on my side seam. It's probably not straight.
Yeah.
Okay? If that's how my pants fit. You know, I mean, obviously, it could be straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right.
You know, say on me, I know mm-hmm. That. Or... commonly,
yes.
That's what you will get because they want a gradual curve going into your waist. They don't want to just all of a sudden take a couple of darts and hope that makes a... So they're trying to shape it all the way around the body.
I was helping someone actually with this and I charged them like a lot of money, so... to help them with.
So this podcast is definitely a bargain.
You know, yeah, I helped them to like trace a dress, and there were a few parts of the dress where I knew how this pattern piece had been constructed, you know, that gathers had been added or that something had been, you know, there was a triangle and then it got slit and then it got spread to, you know, do whatever, you know, make this volume. And like while I was tracing it for this person, because she kind of wanted to like learn and wanted me to help her, there were a couple times where she was like, I just don't think that's right. I just don't. And I was like, you just wait a minute and we will get there. And the reason that I could do this for her was because I knew how other patterns worked.
Right.
So, yeah, like we said, don't get down on yourself if you're a beginner and you can't copy your favorite complex garment
so if you're a beginner, you need to copy a beginner garment.
Yeah, start out with something with as few seams as possible.
As few darts, all of that.
Yes. So it's really going to help to give you that familiarity with manipulating it.
Or, you know, if you want to go a little bit more complex, my thing would be I would really look for a pattern that was similar, and I would lay that pattern on my garment.
To help you with sizing.
Yeah. Well, yes, definitely.
Well, everything. Yes.
Right. Yes, it would fit. But then I have the pattern with the details already, you know, printed out for me, instructed out for me, once assembled by someone to test it, you know, all of those
hopefully.
Things.
No, but you can see with something like that too. You can say, oh, I'm a this in the bust and this, the way the pattern was drafted is using a different set of standardized measurements than the way my garment was drafted and made. And then I just want to emphasize one more time, but just two things, okay? That you really don't want to like stretch and distort a knit.
Ever.
Any garment, but it's a danger with a knit garment. Okay.
Much more dangerous.
Easier to
so
stretch.
Dangerous.
Out.
So dangerous.
You know, you don't want to stretch.
Needs one of those danger signs.
You don't want to stretch and distort those knit garments as you manipulate them. You also don't want to buy fabric that has widely differing characteristics from your original. Yeah, we're saying a tank top, and I picture someone maybe like tracing a ribbed tank top. Ribbed fabrics are extremely stretchy. You know, I used to wear these tank tops kind of like as undershirts, and they were ribbed and they would hug my body because the nature of the fabric was so stretchy. Of course, when I took them off, like they looked like straight up and down things.
Exactly. Well, and you know, you'll have people all the time, oh, this top is, and it's knit and they traced it and they make it out of a woven. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's just not.
You know, it's not unless this is some big blousey, voluminous, and it still won't be the same because a knit and a knit and a woven don't fall the
same. And sometimes, like you said, that's okay.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. You just need to understand that that's just, what's going to happen.
You don't want to get disappointed. And that fabric is, once again, that is the big variable a pattern company cannot fully predict or, like, control your behavior on.
And that's why they give you those suggestions.
Yes.
And, it says suggested fabrics. They usually try and give you more than one. And it probably should not say suggestion. It should say, if you want to be successful, you'll use one of these.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you know, in the home sewing pattern world, they give you those suggestions. Over in clothing manufacturer world, the pattern is designed with the fabric,
If they even sometimes change color. They will change the specs. You think that, you know, there's three pair of pants on the rack and, you know, one's red, one's white, one's blue, and they may be slightly different.
Or they didn't change it and they fit different because they didn't change it.
And that happens too. Yes.
I was just watching some videos on making your own watercolors, okay? So you make up your own medium, which is like egg whites and gum arabic and honey or something, and you mix in pigments. And this guy is like a master pigment you know, maker or whatever. And he said, this pigment, oh, it just goes into this base so easily, and it gives me this kind of consistency. But this pigment, I have to work and work and work and work and do several more passes to get it to absorb. So it's like he's using the same base.
Right.
Let us think of this as the same fabric substrate.
Mm-hmm. And all he's changing is the color.
And all he's changing. So those pigments in themselves have characteristics
right.
that will change what they are applied to. I mean, haven't you ever noticed how different colors of Play-Doh feel?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yes. You know, or mm-hmm. different paints, you know, mm-hmm. Different. Yes. Like it is very much. It was just affirming that to me. Like, I know that you've taught me that all my life. You
well,
know?
I mean,
it was just affirming. That
I'll notice it with thread. Like, yeah. I'm like, you know, this red thread is always just a little funnier feeling.
That.
This dye and red is like. You know about red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
talked about this.
Everybody
yeah.
should study red. Red is very bizarre. Yeah, it's a very bizarre color.
And so in, you know, in paint world, okay, I got to mix my paint a little longer. Fine. In thread world, oh my God, processing the thread over and over right. again may have made it less stable.
Well, and, you know, most people will tell you that your black thread is probably the weakest thread because it's been dyed, you know,
overdyed.
Right.
Yes, yes. So just keep that in mind. There may be differences, and that's why ZD said there, make a muslin. And then this is brought up, Jennifer Place posted in the group about how she made a pair of leggings from the Made to Measure leggings class.
Yes, and she complimented us.
She was like, I
thank
love
you
that.
So much.
Yeah, and so that's why
we're sending our love back.
That's why I'm calling her out here. No, so she made those out of cotton lycra.
Right.
And she had said something like, will this change if I use a fabric with different vertical stretch?
Right.
And I was like, absolutely.
Yep.
So if I've got this one pattern and then I go to make it out of 50 different types of fabric, I'm going to try it on before putting my finishing touches on.
Everybody, I think it's funny when people say, yeah, but I have to try it on to hem it. Well, of course you do. I mean, I don't know. I guess I never thought that was that big a deal to have to try it on.
Yeah, so I just want to bring up with...
I try things on before I put the waistband on.
Oh, yeah.
I try things on, you know, before I put the button on the waistband.
Yep.
I put the zipper in and I put it on and I zip it up. Because you just, you know, I'm not going to put that facing on or that trim or whatever and lock that zipper until I know. And, you know, not only that, we make mistakes.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good way to check yourself.
I just had this conversation with someone about how sewing, everybody's like, sewing, sewing, sewing. And sewing is so much the prep work. You know, it's the measuring. It's the cutting.
Well, we have a podcast that says smart people sew. What that means is it doesn't mean that you can't. It means that if you're trying to sew, you're smart.
That's
you're
right.
You're doing a good job. You are challenging yourself. You are doing something hard. You know,
yeah.
It's not a super simple hobby.
And you know, when those people go, oh, I just need, you know, can you alter my wedding dress? I just need it taken in a little bit, which means there's like four layers that you have to take apart
right.
and take off, you know, sequins and jewels or whatever and put them back on and all that, but, you know, and get the zipper in the right place. Obviously, it's not a little, they can't do it. But to them, it's like it only has to be taken up a half inch or whatever.
And I'm like, well, just put a binder clip on it. Yeah. Walk down. No,
do what they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course,
oh, that's cute.
There are people who appreciate, you know,
yeah.
your
But, you know, people don't know the, that's, I always say too that like we don't understand or always see the work of others.
Sure.
You know, you see someone sitting down and you think they should be up and doing something. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're, you know, calculating something out or waiting for a phone call or they just made one or, you know, you never understand the work of someone if you haven't done it.
So I just wanted to reiterate the thing about the fabric choice and how yep. that can. And I wonder
how many times we've said that in podcasts.
I don't think it hurts to say it again because it helps me remind myself too. Because I just traced a garment and I wish I would have done a little bit more prep work because I'm not 100% happy with my result now. And I see where, you know, maybe I took a couple shortcuts. But yeah, always with the leggings, when I make those out of a heavy cotton lycra versus like a lightweight DBP, My waistband, I'm going to cut more off my waistband on that DBP that stretches more than I am on my cotton lycra that doesn't have quite as much vertical stretch.
If I'm making a garment say something very, very much for the very, very first time, and I get it right the very, very first time, I'm shocked. Because after I wear it, I will decide sometimes, this pant just needed to be, you know, half inch longer or just something. Do you know what I mean? Or I should have made this pocket, you know, larger for my hand. Or, I'm almost at the point that I've made so many things I know.
but still.
And, you know, new fabrics come out or I see a new fabric and I haven't worked with it before and I make something and I'm like, you know, on that fabric, I should have done this or I should have done that. I mean, I should have made the zipper longer and made it easier to get into. Yeah, it fits great, but it's a little bit harder to get into or something like that.
Well, I think that we've done a pretty good job
whetting
people's appetites for... knowing how to trace a garment. And so if this made sense to you, hopefully it gives you like a kickstart to try something. If it doesn't, we can, you know, we can explore this more. So
now that you've spent, you know, whatever it is, 40 minutes of your life with us, we hope that you feel that it was somewhat valuable.
Yes. Take it away, Mom.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.